My introduction for the live stream, and of course we're on social media. Thank God for social media and how we can use it for the kingdom of God. Of course, right now we're live streaming with our live streaming restream, Facebook, Messenger, YouTube, Skype, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, podcast, WhatsApp. Of course, today we're with Operation Outreach once again under the playlist for the YouTube channel, and once again they're gone. Where Jesus Reigns Forever Ministries in Busia, Kenya, Africa, June 7, 2019. I was going to say 1919. No, we're in 2019. And I think we just may have lost our live audience. I don't know if it'll come back, but that's okay. We're going to keep going. So today the key topic is a very, very, very foundational topic. Called apostasy, the loss of salvation, backsliding versus eternal security. Once saved, always saved. So there's lots of stuff in there, and we're going to do our best to unpack that a little bit without getting into too much detail, of course, because the length of the video, different things like that. So my introduction here today is number one, or number A, is that since Lucifer, as well as Adam, basically walked away from God. Basically, they did. They really did. What makes us think that it could not happen to us? And Lucifer was not pressured by anyone else to do so, yet Adam was pressured and enticed to some degree, yet he could have avoided the whole situation by simply believing as well as doing what God told him to do and believe. That's it. God said, "The day you eat of this tree, you'll die." Adam all had to say, believe him. And say, "Ooh, I don't want to die, not eat of it." And no fall of man, no crucifixion, no sending of the last Adam, none of that. A lot of people don't believe that. That's their problem. B of the introduction. The term losing your salvation basically means walking away from your salvation, which will cause you to lose your salvation as you are the one who walks away from God and not God walking away from you. Makes sense, right? A brother of mine, a brother of ours, kind of brought that up. I taught on this a little bit once, and he said, "Is you know, losing your salvation." He says, "I think it's more accurate saying walking away from." I said, "Yeah, that's true." So that's what I go by with right now. Walking away from your salvation. Go ahead, answer it. You can walk away from God. Number C. You can walk away from God, yet you can always walk back to God before it's too late. So now they're back. Nice to see you back there. Number D, we need revelation regarding many of these references that we'll be looking at. We need revelation, meaning we need the mind of God so that we don't end up with the wrong interpretations and conclusions concerning this teaching on apostasy and different things like that. Yet I'm one that firmly believes that you can be saved at one time yet end up being in hell for eternity because of the freedom of the will or to choose. And we also need to keep these verses in their proper context. Number E, salvation is a free gift from God. Therefore, like any other gift given to us freely in the natural, we are free to do whatever we want to do with this free gift of eternal life. We can reject it or receive it. And even once you've received a gift, you can always throw it away. And later on during your lifetime. That's true, right? You take a gift, somebody gives you a gift, it's up to you to do whatever you want with it, right? Same thing with the salvation. It's a gift, right? You can't earn it. So God offers salvation. It's freely given. And that's up to you to do whatever you want with it. You want to throw it away? Throw it away. You keep it. You build upon it, but ultimately there's consequences. That's why we have a judgment. Makes sense? So, key references. Start with Matthew. Matthew 7. Are we back on track? Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? Verse 23, and then I will say to them, or I'll say to you, openly, publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. Amplified. All right? So, my comment on this is this. Jesus cannot be referring to atheists. It's impossible. Because an atheist does not claim to drive out demons and to do many works in the name of Jesus. No, no. This is just for the religious folks. Therefore, he must be referring to some type of Christian, whether they were saved or ever saved or not, I don't know at this time. Let's move on here to Matthew 15. Chapter 15, verse 8 to 9. Verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts hold off and are far away from me. All right? That's church people. That's not the atheists. Matthew 26, 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the county yard, and one maid came up to him and said, you are also with Jesus, the Galilean. Verse 70, but he denied it falsely before them all. He denied Jesus before all of them, saying, I do not know what you mean. Verse 72, and again he denied it and disowned him with an oath, saying, I do not know the man. Verse 33, after a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, you certainly are one of them too, for even your accent betrays you. Verse 74, then Peter began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not even know this man. And at that moment, the rooster crowed. So my comment is this, Peter was not yet born again. A lot of people got to understand that. Peter was not born again yet. But, there's always a but this is a good example of what can take place when you're put under pressure. When you're put under pressure. Not only one time, but three times, Peter denied the Lord. Publicly. He could have denied him once, denied him twice, and the last time say, you know what, I will not deny him. But three times he denied him. All right? Let's move on to the Gospel of Mark. Everything okay? Gospel of Mark. Mark 9. Chapter 9. Salt is good, beneficial, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how will you restore the saltness to it? Have salt within yourselves and be at peace and live in harmony with one another. All right? Let's move on to Luke. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 9. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God. So there we got looking back. That's implying backsliding. Luke 11, verse 21. When the strong man, fully armed, from his courtyard, guards his own dwelling. His belongings are undisturbed. His property is at peace and is secure. Verse 22, but when one stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he had relied and divides up his, distributes all his goods and plunders spoil. Verse 23, he who is not with me, siding and indwelling with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me, engage in my interests, scatters. Verse 24, when the unclean spirit has gone out of the person, he roams through the waterless places in search of a place of rest, release, refreshment, ease, and finding none, it says, I will go back to my house from which I came. 25, 26, and when it arrives, it finds the place swept, put in order, furnished, and decorated. And it goes and brings other spirits, seven of them, more evil than itself. And they enter in, settle down, and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. I believe that's demon possession. Demon possession. Let's move on to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. John chapter 6, verse 64. But still some of you fail to believe and trust and have faith. For Jesus knew from the very first who did not believe and had no faith, and who would betray him and be false to him. 66, 65. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him, unless he is able to do so by my Father. 66 to 68. After this, many of the disciples drew back, returned to their old associations, and no longer accompanied him. Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? And do you too desire to leave me? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have no the words, the message of eternal life. Comment is this. Once again, we must remember that these disciples were not yet born again. They weren't born again yet. Yet I do believe that in many of these things were written for us as warnings. Warnings. Yet the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament alike, are full of warnings to the saved as well as to the unsaved alike. John 15, verse 2 and 6. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, but he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more fruit and richer and more excellent fruit. I wouldn't want to be the first branch. I would not want to be that branch. Verse 6, if a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. Some people teach us that this is loss of salvation. The Gospel, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostle, Acts 1:25. To take the place in this ministry and receive the position of an apostle, from which Judas fell away and went astray to go where he belonged to his proper place. So Judas, once again, Judas, like Peter, he was not born again yet, but it's still as a warning. 1 Corinthians, the epistle to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 15. But if any person's works is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss of it all, losing his rewards, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through fire. So this is this gives you insight, because, you know, there are people out there that, you know, they don't have much to show for. And, you know, that doesn't mean they lost their salvation. No, because it says right here, their works are going to be burned up because there weren't works initiated by him. Their rewards are going to be lost, but they're going to be saved as if by fire. I have no interest in being saved by fire. No, but at least they got saved by fire. It's better than going to hell in eternal fire, the lake of fire, right? It's true. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1 and 2. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, impurity of a sort that is condemned and does not even occur among the heathen, for a man has his own father's wife. 2. And you are proud and arrogant, you ought rather to mourn until the person has done this shameful thing is removed from your fellowship and your mind. I say this all the time. We've got Christians that live worse than heathens. They live worse than heathens because they do things that the heathens wouldn't even do. Some heathens. All right. Verse 5 and 6. You are to deliver this man over to Satan for physical discipline to destroy carnal lust, which prompted him to incest, that his spirit may yet be saved. See? In that day of the Lord Jesus. Referring to what we just read in 1 Corinthians 3. 6. About the condition of your church, your boasting is not good. Indeed, it is most unseemly and entirely out of place. Do you not know that just a little leaven will ferment the whole lump? And this is so key here. That's why you got to get rid of the sinner. You got to get rid of the sin so that that action that's going on through that believer, it won't start spreading out to other believers. See? That's why. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that our forefathers were all under and protected by the cloud in which God's presence went before them, and every one of them passed safely through the Red Sea. 3 and 4. And all of them ate the same spiritual supernatural given food. 4. And they all drank the same spiritual supernaturally given drink, for they drank without a spiritual rock, for they drank from a spiritual rock which followed them, produced by the soul power of God himself without natural instrumentality, and the rock was Christ. 5 and 6. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with the great majority of them, for they were overthrown and strewn down along the ground in the wilderness. 6. Now these things are examples, warnings, and admonitions for us not to desire, crave, covet, or lust after evil and carnal things as they did. Verse 7 and 8. Do not be worshippers of false gods, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink the sacrifices offered to the golden calf at Horeb, and though the rose to sport, to dance, and give way to jesting and hilarity. Verse 8. We must not gratify evil desires and indulge in immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 suddenly fell dead in a single day. 9 and 10. We should not tempt the Lord. Try his patience. Become a trial to him. Critically appraise him. And exploit his goodness, as some of them did. And some of them do. And were killed by poisonous serpents. Verse 10. Nor discontentedly complain, as some of them did. And were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer, death. Verse 11 and 12. Now these things befell them by way of a figure, or as an example and warning to us all. They were written to admonish and fit us for right action by good instruction. We, in whose days the ages have reached their climax, their consummation, and concluding period. 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands, who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he fail or falls into sin. Warning, right? Comment is this. All of this was clearly written to believers, to those who were born again. This was just not written to the Jews before the cross. This was referring to the Jews, but this was written after the cross, to those who got born again. Alright? So let's move on to 2 Corinthians, the Epistle of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. I am fearful that when I come, my God may humiliate and humble me in your regard, and that I may have come to sorrow over many of those who sinned before and have not repented of the impurity, sexual vice, and sensuality which they formerly practiced. Let's move on to the epistle to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I am surprised and astonished that you are so quickly turning renegade and deserting him who invited and called you by the grace, unmerited favor of Christ, and that you are transferring your allegiance to a different and even another gospel. Yeah, warnings. Warnings in the Bible. Galatians 4, verse 9 and 11. Now, whoever that you have come, now however that you have come to be acquainted with and understand and know the true God, or rather to be understood and known by God, how can you turn your back again to the weak beggarly, worthless, elementary things of a religious before of religions before Christ came, whose slaves you once more want to become. 11. I am alarmed about you, lest I have labored among you and over you to no purpose and in vain. I found on a few occasions where Paul said that his labor was in vain. This is the Apostle Paul talking. But that's not his fault. That's the people's fault. Galatians 5:6. You are running the race nobly. Who has interfered and hindered and stopped you from your heeding and following the truth? See? Let's move on to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who profess to be Christians has come, and the man of lawlessness. Yeah, sin is revealed, who is the son of doom and of perdition. Let's move on to the epistle to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Holding fast to faith, that leaning of the entire human personality on God, having a good, clear conscience, by rejecting and thrusting from them their conscience, some individuals have made shipwreck of their own faith. Yeah. 1 Timothy 4, 1. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teaches. 1 Timothy 5:15. For already some widows have turned aside after Satan. Born again people. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental panics. So if they wander from the faith, that means they were in the faith at one time. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny and disown and reject him, he will also deny and disown and reject us. Very clear. You deny him, he'll deny you. You reject him, he rejects you. You disown him, he disowns you. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has deserted me for love of this present world. Demas was born again and has gone to Thessalonica. All right. Hebrews, the Epistle of Hebrews. Most scholars, they label the Epistle to the Hebrews as the Epistle of Warnings. The Epistle Warning, because it's full of warnings for the believer today. Using the Jews before the cross as an example. All right. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull, talking to believers, in your spiritual hearing, and sluggish, even slothful, in achieving spiritual insight. Church is full of this. I meet believers all the time. They've been saved for 20, 30, 40 years, and you think they got saved 2 days ago. Not good. Chapter 10. Verse 26, for if we go on deliberately and willingly sinning after once acquiring the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice left to atone for our sins, no further offering to which to look forward. Verse 27, there's nothing left for us then but a kind of awful and fearful prospect and expectation of divine judgment and the fury a burning wrath and indignation which will consume those who put themselves in opposition to God. Yeah. How much worse stern and heavier punishment do you suppose he will be judged to deserve who has spurned and thus trampled underfoot the Son of God, who has considered the covenant blood by which he was consecrated common and unhallowed, thus profaning it and insulting and outraging the Holy Spirit who imparts grace, unmerited favor. Written to believers. Hebrews 12:15. Exercise foresight and be on the watch. Be on the watch. Be on the lookout after one another to see that no one falls back from and falls to secure God's grace. Yeah. In order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble, bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. And that going back to what he said in Galatians, a little leaven spoils a whole lump. So if you don't cut the sin in a local body, if you don't cut the sin in a family, eventually it can spread out. It can spread out and contaminate to other people. That's the way sin works. That's the way demons work. James. The Epistle to James. James 1, chapter 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God, for God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. See, a lot of people said that God tempted Adam. God didn't tempt Adam. God gave Adam a choice. God don't tempt people. God is not the tempter. The tempter is the devil. Verse 14. But every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire. There you go. Not even the devil in this case. Not even the devil. Verse 15. Then the evil desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. 16. Do not be misled, my beloved. Yeah. James 1:21, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. So get rid. See? This is all in context. So get rid of this stuff, he says. Get rid of all uncleanness, the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. King James got the superfluity of naughtiness. And in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the Word of God, which implanted and rooted in your heart, contains the power to sozo, to save, to deliver, to transform, to set free your soul. Your soul. Once we got born again, our spirit got born again, but our soul needs salvation. The mind needs to be renewed, right? James 4, chapter 4, verse 8. Come close to God, talking to the believer. The backslidden believer, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests. Purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. Amplified. 9. As you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. 17. So as many who know what is right to do but don't do it, that is sin. Yeah. Comment. This was written to believers, the saints, and not to the unbelievers, the sinners. It was written to the saints. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, has become oblivious to the fact that he is cleansed from his old sins. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1. But also in those days, there arose false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among yourselves, who will subtly and stealthily introduce heretical doctrines, destructive heresies, even denying and disowning the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destructions. Verse 2, and many will follow them. Many, not some, many will follow their immoral ways, lascivious doings. Because of them, the true way will be maligned and defamed. I will not fall for that. I will not misrepresent my Jesus. I will not misrepresent my God. No way. No way. Over my dead body. Verse 4. For God did not even spare angels that sinned, but cast them into hell, delivering them to be kept there in pits of gloom till the judgment and their doom. See? The angels fell with Lucifer. Not all, but a third of the angels. They went. Yeah. And God let them go. God let them go. You want to go? Then you go. Yeah. But there's no repentance for angels. There's no repentance. There's no redemption for Lucifer. Verse 15. Forsaking the straight road, they have gone astray, and they have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the reward of wickedness. Common is this. This word forsake implies that they were once on the straight road, including the words gone astray. That implies they were once on the straight road, but they went away. Right? Forsake. To forsake something, it means you had it to begin with. You had it at one time. Verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the full and personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they again become entangled in what? In the pollutions of the world, and are overcome, their last condition is worse for them than the first. Very clear in the word. Very clear. Verse 21, for never to have obtained a full personal knowledge of the way of righteousness would have been better for them. See? Yeah. Than having obtained such knowledge to turn back from the holy commandment which was verbally delivered unto them. Verse 22, there has befallen them the thing spoken of in the true proverb, the dog turns back to his own vomit, and the soul is washed only to swallow again in the mire. Going back to his vomit. Yeah, a lot of people go back to their sin. To God, it's going back to your vomit. I say that all the time. I never went back to my vomit in 25 years. 25 years. Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me warn you. See, warning. Therefore, beloved, that knowing these things beforehand, you should be on your guard. You should be on your guard, lest you be carried away by the error of lawless and wicked persons and fall from your own present firm condition. All right, Jude. Let's move on to Jude. Jude, chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6. For certain men have crept in stealthily, gaining entrance secretly by the side door. Their doom was predicted long ago. Ungodly, impious, profane persons who pervert the grace, the spiritual blessing and favor of our God into lawlessness and wantonness and immorality and disown and deny our sole master, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. 5. Now I want to remind you through you, though you were fully informed once for all, that though the Lord at one time delivered a people out of the land of Egypt, he subsequently destroyed those of them who did not believe. See? So he saved the people, and they did not believe, and he destroyed them. See? Free moral. Free moral beings, right? Free moral. It's up to you. You follow the Lord as much as you want to. You can backslide as much as you want to. Yeah? It's up to you. It's all up to you. You want to go forward? You go forward. You want to go back? You go back. God's always there. God don't change. We're the ones who change, right? 6. And angels who did not keep and care for guard and hold to their own first place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place, these he has reserved in custody in eternal chains, bonds under the thick gloom of utter darkness until the judgment and doom of the great day. Yeah. We need to teach more on this stuff. We really do. In context of the whole counsel of God, of course. Verse 12. These are hidden reefs, elements of danger in your love feasts, where they boldly feast sumptuously, carousing together in your midst. I wouldn't let them there. Without scruples, providing for themselves alone, they are clouds without water, swept along by the winds, trees without fruit at the late autumn gathering time, twice doubly dead, lifeless and plucked up by the roots. So this term here, doubly dead, twice dead, dead in their trespasses, like the rest of mankind because of the fall, yet they did not get eventually saved, but they eventually went back to their previous condition before, dead in their sins, once again, Ephesians 2:1. See, double dead. We're all dead in our trespasses. You got born again, you lose your salvation, you go back to your previous condition, dead in your trespasses. That's what it means, double dead. Twice dead. Last one. I think we're in the last one. This one pretty quick. No, almost done. Revelation. The Epistle of Revelation. Chapter 2, verse 4. But I have this one charge to make against you. He's talking to believers. Speaking to a specific church. That you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Your love, you have deserted me. Your first love. See, he's talking to believers. Verse 5. Remember then from what heights you have fallen. Fallen. A believer. Repent, change your inner man to meet God's will and do the works you did previously. See? They were doing good works at one time. But they fell. When first you knew the Lord. Or else I will visit you and remove your lampstand. Now, I don't have revelation of this, but I think the word lampstand represents the Holy Spirit. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. But I could be wrong. Okay? Remove your lampstand from its place unless you change your mind. See, it's up to us. It's choice. Back to the garden. It was up to Adam and Eve. Even Lucifer had a choice. Lucifer did not have to do what he did. He didn't have to. Didn't have to do that. He chose to do that. Revelations chapter 3, verse 3, last verse. So call to mind, get rid of that thing, the lessons you received and heard continually, lay them to heart and obey them and repent, in case you will not rouse yourself and keep awake and watch, I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not nor suspect at what hour I will come. See? Full of warnings. So, anyhow, we got our audience back. So I want to thank, first of all, I just want to thank my audience on live stream. And I want to thank you for everybody who follows us on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and what else? I think that's about it, for now. People are following us, I think. So I want to thank you for your time.